What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another edition of the podcast. Hello, how are you today? I'm your host, Mitch Corbett. And look, we got a fancy new microphone if you're watching the visual style on YouTube. Again, this podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Music, all wherever you can find your own podcast available. We are there, thanks to Anchor. So shout out to them. This week we have my guest is Colin Winchester. He's a comedian in the London, Ontario scene. And we've bumped past many, many times. I think he has a unique voice in the comedy scene. I really enjoy what he's bringing to the table. He's only been doing it for a year. I've been doing it for a year and a half-ish, if that. So we're both fairly new at this game. And that's why I wanted to have him on. I wanted to see, you know, what makes him tick, how he gets his writing going. And I'm not going to lie to you, this conversation just divulges into us just shooting the shit, essentially. So there's no real information that has passed on to you guys from this podcast, because it just comes two guys, two comedians, if you will, going back and forth, talking shit and having a good time. And I love that sort of thing. So let's get to the conversation, quote unquote, with Colin Winchester.
February, so.
Oh.
Yeah. I signed up for that one in December, not realizing that it would be February. You
know? That was a poor decision.
Yeah, a very, as he sips a beer.
It's good down my throat, my man.
That's all right. My weed intake's gone up like 1,000,000%.
Really? As you take a joint?
I smoked like 5 joints at work last night.
So are you? What do you do for work? Are you just like doing the Forest City Scum thing, or?
I do the Forest City Scum thing, and then I also do I'm kind of like a jack of all trades at Tilt London. So like I do security, I work the floor, I work the door, I do anything that they need.
So you're
it's,
the
like, it's pretty sick. I literally just get to like walk around and wipe tables and watch people play video games. So
if there was a casino movie made based on Tilt London, you'd be the Joe Pesci.
Yeah, it sounds cool. Yeah, motherfucker, you.
who's your Robert De Niro? The one that's got to keep you in line.
I think it's Floppy Phil. Might be my Bobby D. The guy on my shirt taking a poop.
Jesus Christ. So, by the way, I'm wearing this for you because you're such a fan.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I got a shirt.
The only time I ever did merch.
Give me 1 second. I got a shirt to show you as well.
And we're pausing the podcast as I will talk to the through the silence here as I watch a video of Chris Hemsworth all jacked up as fuck doing a...
Oh, man. him playing Hollywood Hulk Hogan might be the best casting ever.
I don't want to see Hulk Hogan. I hate Hulk Hogan, actually, to be honest.
I think you've probably seen these from King Carden.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, for sure. Oh, my hometown. What a strange and wonderful place that is.
Oh, man. My grandfather played the stand-up bass. Like the, I guess it's not the stand-up bass, played like the big bass drum in every Saturday night parade growing up.
No, they didn't have a cello. Oh, no, you're talking about the big...
Like the pipe band. Yeah, yeah. The big, like, douche.
Yeah. Same thing you did to your grandmother. Yeah. She'd see him in that kilt and she'd just go buck wild.
Hey, man, I got that same kilt. I'm hoping. No.
All right, man. Well, I'm. If people don't know, this is my guest, Colin Winchester. He's a comedian here in London, Ontario, Canada. Dude, it's a pleasure to have you on, because I've wanted to have you on for a while, but like, because I love your style of comedy, because like you have a voice that is so distinctly unique in the scene, but like, how'd you find that voice exactly, and like how long have you been doing it for?
I'm not even at a year yet.
Yeah,
I started last March, just after, like, after we came out of lockdown, and I think I got to do it like 3 times, and then we got locked down again. And like, I just go up there and I try, a lot of the times I try something different each time and just, you know, You throw shit at the wall, one of them's going to stick, I guess.
You hope. You hope it's a solid so you can throw it.
Yeah, exactly. And believe me, a lot of them have run through my fingers.
So, like, what made you, like, where's your, like, because you're 33, you're my age, or?
Yeah, 33 in December.
Oh, next December, okay. So, like, we're starting our comedy careers kind of late and everything like that, but, you know, ain't nothing wrong with that. You fucking learn, you got some life experience. What kind of, like, inspired you to do the whole damn thing? Because, I mean, for me, it was, like, Catherine was just asking me to, like, do you want to do a set? And I was like, sure. And I told some shitty jokes I made.
Really? I've been a fan of stand-up my whole life. Like, my growing up, it was just me and my mom. So I was always the, like, ADD-ridden kid, always making fart noises and shit in the back of the class. So it was kind of, a natural progression. My mom put me on to, like, Steve Martin and, I mean, to a lesser extent, Bill Cosby at the beginning. But, I remember what really made me want to do stand-up was I got my grandfather a Bill Cosby cassette tape, and I watched him, like, put a pair of headphones on and just laugh his ass off and being like, I want to make somebody laugh like that.
Well, you got the first step in any successful comedian's journey as a single parent, so that's good. Every successful has to have one dead parent, I think, is what books say, or one parent that's left, sort of thing. But, like, so, like, does that, like, with having that kind of, like, not having that father around, that sort of influence, I mean, does it help or hinder your comedy, do you think? Because you must have grown up with, like, not, I mean, I don't know, right? So, like,
I grew up in a very funny family, as is. And I'd say it kind of affected it, but I mean, all it really did was make me not good at sports. Like, I grew up, once my dad died, I lived with my aunt, my mom, and my two female cousins. So, like, I was just surrounded by pussy all day. Just, you know, I kind of, it was either like be funny or trans.
And you chose to be funny.
Yeah, you know, I've never been good at putting on nail polish and shit.
Dude, so. you chose the wrong path, because that
hindsight's 2020, man.
You could have been a trans comedian. You would have been in.
I would have been at the top of the game.
You would have been the first trans Canadian to have a comedy special on Netflix right now. Less than a year in the game. She's blown up huge.
Yeah, fuck.
No, it's hilarious. You know, my wife and I are actually going next Thursday to Lavish Nightclub. There's a trans or drag show. I think trans or drag can both perform. And we're super excited to go out. And I'm like, man, I'm going to talk to the manager. I'm like, hey, would you guys be interested in, like, doing stand-up comedy at this venue?
Oh, man, like, I would love to do stand-up at Lavish.
Yeah, but also think about this one. I just, like, so, like, with me personally, like, as, like, you know, my background as, like, a wrestling fan and wrestlers, that sort of thing. Background is also, like, I love, like, I'm at the age where now I love, like, kind of just fucking with everyone. And I know the amount of people that would be uncomfortable going to something like that. And I'm like, it gives me joy, because it makes their insecurities, like, out there.
I think Lavish would be a blast. My mom went to a drag show at 765 like a couple months ago, and she just had, like, a blast. She, like, her friend got kicked out and shit. You'll have to tell me what they do at these shows, because my mom said they just, like, lip sync the music and run around the bar.
This is Lavish, right? So I think they've done these shows before, so I think it's more of a professional sort of thing. I think it's also amateurs as well. So people do it for the first time. So that's why I was like, I'm hoping that maybe I can talk to them about doing, like, a drag / comedy show, something, or like an hour comedy show and then a drag show afterwards, sort of thing. The possibilities would be so cool and fun and just different. Yeah. I love it.
Well, I mean, that's what they do on that Drag Race show, is there's a lot of stand-up elements to it, right? Like, from what I've never really seen a full episode, but like from girlfriends and my mom watching it, there's a lot of stand-up elements to, like, I mean, it's just a little bit more razzle-dazzle, if you will, right?
Well, I mean, so, like, let me ask you this opinion then, because, like, I believe that, like, I believe that anyone and everyone can and should be allowed to do stand-up comedy. And I keep hearing, 100%. Like, people say so-and-so shouldn't do it, or, like, they can't do that. It's like, I think everyone if you have the balls to do it and go perform, do it. Because, like, the audience is supposed to be the judge of what is good comedy and not bad comedy. It's not the comedians. They don't get the judge. That's the audience. It's a one time where the audience you can visibly tell if you're shitting the bed or doing well is by the audience reaction.
Yeah, I mean, it's the one, man. It's the one where it's like, it's make or break that quickly, right? And I mean, I'd like to say that there's no right or wrong comedy. Everybody's got their own thing, right? They, like, who are we to say what's funny to somebody else? I mean, the only time it gets bad is if you're purposely putting a certain group of people down, right? That's the only, like, something's going to be funny to anybody across the world. You don't know who it's going to break. You don't know who's going to love it. Like, I've broken over some of the most ridiculously stupid, insignificant things. Like, someone dropping a piece of paper will get me for hours on end.
You were at the show where Santa Claus was doing the bit?
Yeah.
When he's like, I think, what was the Indian comedian's name? Oh, Jesus Christ. He's like,
Al-Han or something.
Not a Christian, technically a sin. Just fucking burst out laughing.
Right?
And I couldn't believe that some people weren't laughing over it. It's like, it's a bit, guys. What are we doing?
Yeah, and here? I mean, but that's our jaded ass comedian minds, right? Like, we aren't looking for just a regular joke anymore. We're looking for the weird, dumb, insane bit inside of a bit.
Well, let me, so, like, what is, like, so what is your writing? Because, like I said, you have a very unique voice. Like, you have, and, like, you've only been around for less than a year, and I've kind of been the same way with the London scene. Yeah. But, like, it's, the way you spout the words, like, how do you write the bits and stuff like that, if you will?
I don't really write a lot. Like, I write down the gist, what I want to say up there, and I just kind of flow with it. I've never been good at writing. Once I get a piece of paper in front of me, I can't get the words to come from my brain. So, like, but I don't know. My voice was just kind of, I've always been loud and kind of a dick. So, like, that's all I was like, I might as well just hold a microphone. I've always been told that I'm usually the one that doesn't need a microphone.
So, well, that's awesome. So how did you find out about comedy in London then? Because, I mean, I had to go online and, like, look vigorously through Facebook just to find a comedy group to, like, find out how to sign up for stuff.
I had a friend that was in the London scene years and years ago, Peter Reed. I think he's, like, a reverend as well. But he, I would follow him when he was doing it, when he lived in London. And then I, just from following bars, I think it was right after the pandemic opened, and I think I was walking down Richmond and I looked at the sign out front of Poachers and it said, like, open mic comedy. So I went on the Monday and just watched it, and Aaron Stevenson right away was like, I can tell you want to do this. And so like, I waited another week. I went and watched it again. And then I went up the third week.
Has anyone, like, in the scene approached you and commented on your comedy, like, in a negative or a positive way?
Yeah, I mean, positive way. Like, I've had guys come up and be like, man, that bit's funny. And, like, kind of give me, like, some tips and shit. But no, never in a negative way. And I mean, everybody would hear if they came up and said something in a negative way to me, because I'd probably fucking...
No, you're a sweetheart. You're a sweetheart. You lived with women. You lived with four women. There's no way that you would just you would take the amount of times that you probably got like not constructive criticism from your family.
Yeah, exactly.
Women can be very petty sometimes. Okay, I'm just
gonna, my mom sees every my mom listens to every act, every bit I do, And she'll tell me right away, man. And she'll be like, yeah, that shit with the girl in the wheelchair isn't working.
And then what do you say? He's like, okay, mom.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, one night I had to cut. I was doing Oliver Twist one night, and I had like a good 2.5 minutes about somebody in a wheelchair. And like, I'm not kidding you, 5 minutes before I go up, 2 people in wheelchairs fucking roll in and take a table.
You didn't bitch out. You did the joke, right?
I didn't.
Oh, come on, man. So,
and I didn't, because I didn't want to like break up my my act. And sure enough, halfway through my set, one of the people in the wheelchair starts choking on their dinner, and I had to stop my set. I mean, I tried to keep going for a bit. Like, I think Sean Crichton has video of me, like, somebody's literally choking in a wheelchair, and I'm standing there still doing comedy.
So, like, it's so weird, the things that, you know, when you're up on stage, because you see the entire room and you can see what's happening, right? And like, yeah, it's such a weird dynamic, because like, I've noticed that a few people like point out people and like attack people, like audience members, and they usually make the audience members leave, and I'm just like, but I wanted to perform in front of them, can you maybe not do
these people, and like, just let, like, maybe allow us to have 2 people in here,
yeah, that aren't just comedians that won't laugh at our material because they're trying to be better than
people that we don't know, that we don't know their first name. I'd really like to make them laugh, maybe. I've seen people do it at spots, like off the jump, like first comedian on, they get like 3 people to leave, walk people out, and you're like, oh, well, I guess it's just us again, guys.
Well, let's talk about it, right? Because like, we perform primarily in front of other comedians, and it's annoying as fuck. It's so fucking annoying.
I love it. If you're not gonna make your peers laugh, then who are you gonna make laugh, right?
Yeah, but see, I think the peers that we have are, you know, like, against the idea of having a good time sometimes.
Hey man, I've had some of the biggest piece of shit friends in the world, and whatever. If they're against having fun, you just gotta have more fun. That's the way I do it. It's like, oh, is me having fun pissing that dude over there off? Like, now we gotta amp it up to 20. like shots, everybody, like, start talking to that dude's girlfriend.
That's probably the best way. When you brought that your friend the poachers and Noah just
I've had to like train my friends over the last few months of like how to act at comedy shows.
How? Tell me.
I don't know. Like,
I want the details.
Don't make side jokes underneath the comedian up. You know what I mean? Like, don't try and better the joke.
I don't know. I have a problem with that, actually. Because, like, oh, you saw me at the last Oliver Twist. I was kind of like, I was having too much fun, to be honest, because there weren't a whole lot of people there, and like, it was New Year's Eve, and I just wanted to kind of like fuck with people a little bit.
Yeah, man, I had a blast that night. I had the kids with me and shit. That was fun. That was probably, and like, I hadn't done a show in I think it had been since like December 3rd was the last time I'd been up. And like, I'm doing Oliver Twist again on Thursday. And yeah, I haven't been up since that night, since New Year's Eve.
I don't think anyone has. I think Yuck Yucks had a show maybe this weekend. I've signed up for Poachers on Monday. So
I signed up. I mean, everybody signed up for Poachers on Monday, right? So like, that randomizer is gonna be a fun one to see what happens on.
Let me ask this. So, like, being like, what do you think of Canada and comedy? Canadians are some of the funniest, nicest people in the world, but it kind of seems in my mind's eye that the only way to be successful is to actually leave the country. I look at like all the great comedians that come from Canada, most of them had to leave to find their success. Like, what do you think it is about it?
Well, I mean, like, it's weird. It's I guess you're right on one end of the spectrum, but like, it's weird. They leave Canada to come back to Canada because like the best spot to be seen for a comedian is the Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal, right? So like people, like you leave Canada and you go to LA or New York, and then you got to come, and then it's all to get a spot in Quebec. So that all the American fucking agents and shit can see you. Like you look at Quebec around JFL and it's like every single bar across Montreal has got a comedy show going on, and it's all Americans, right?
Yeah. Like, do you think that's a real thing though? Cause like I've heard, like I listen to like a lot of the I listen to comedians and podcasts all the time, and I hear about like some of the people that don't, not that they don't know comedy, but like I'm trying to explain it in an articulate way, but it's not working. But then there's people there that like think so-and-so has a look or something, but that doesn't translate to, you know, actually being a good comedian sort of thing. I've heard those stories.
That's where it comes down to, right? It's so hit or miss with like, I mean, what is a good comedian? Everybody's got a different thought on that one. Do you like a prolific guy like Chappelle, or like, do you like a fucking swing for the fences, Cheselnik kind of shit?
Well, so like, I think I think in my personal opinion, a good comedian is someone who is real, if that makes sense. Like they'd speak from they speak from an honest opinion and an honest like take, as opposed to like, but they also can make shit up at the same time. But a lot of their material comes from like a sense of like inside their soul. Because you can see like comedians and they're just doing like bits, but like there's no heart in it sort of thing.
Yeah, like almost doing like the old like Bob Hope kind of shit where they just do like it's the same routine every single time.
At the same time, though, Bob Hope is a legend, and I would not.
I'm not shitting on Hope here.
No, but I think that's the thing. I think that's the great thing about the evolution of comedy, though, is that like, you know, it was very gimmicky early on, and then
real hokey, man, real hokey.
And like, I feel like to be a successful comedian now is like you have to have some realness, some like some real shit go on in your jokes that, you know, people can identify with. I'm not saying that, you know, talk politics all the time, but I mean like some, it has to come from a place of like authenticity.
Yeah, and I'm not big on the politic talk. Like, I mean, and I also like the guys that like, once I've laughed at something once, I'm not laughing at it again, you know. I can't rewatch. Like, I mean, from time to time, you can rewatch a Raw or like Delirious. You know what I mean? There's certain specials that are timeless. But like, once I've laughed at something once, like I'm not gonna go and fucking pay $200 to see Jerry Seinfeld and see the cigarette butt and the mashed potatoes joke every single time. You know, I mean, it's the experience of seeing them, but like.
I don't think I'd ever like, so like we had tickets to go see Tom Segura. I'd go see Bill Burr. And like, cause like, I love this idea of like, you know, the comedians like putting in the work themselves and doing it themselves. Like they hire their own camera crew. They do their own vlogs. They do their own specials on YouTube. They're not letting someone tell them they can or cannot do anything that they don't want to do sort of thing. And I think
they're running their future. Yeah.
And I think
and Mark Norman and Sam Morrell are really good. Like they just both put out some specials on YouTube that are like insane. Mark Normand is a killer, man.
Yeah. Yo, 100%. That he just released one, what, 6 months ago? That was just hilarious. And then he did the Netflix spot where it was the 50-minute sets.
Yeah, yeah.
The comedian season 2.
Degenerates or something.
Yeah, and I love that. Like I think that's what I'm talking about when I talk about authenticity, is like they're not letting someone else dictate their future and what they can or cannot do as a comedian or a performer sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, who are we to fucking judge it, right? We're two London.
Well, comics, no, right? So like we can judge it because we actually put ourselves out there to do it. So we have some sense of it. I mean,
I just love going out and making people laugh. Like I could literally just sit in London for the rest of my life and fucking work a dead end job as long as there's a spot every Monday or something.
Dude, when you need what we need you to do is what we need you to do is like we need to get like you some big goggles, a fedora, and we need to get you to be a manager for a wrestler. And where
definitely be a manager for a wrestler.
Where you can get the joy of just shitting on people.
Who's that little guy, Jimmy Hart? I always loved Jimmy Hart.
Or a Jim Cornette style type of thing, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you wear just like, you only wear like a tied up bedazzled vest with nothing else underneath with a fedora and a bow tie.
Yeah, man. I could definitely do that. That's for sure.
Because, I don't know, we're just kind of bullshitting on this podcast, but like, where do you find your joy from performing? Because you always said that you were like always the loudmouth for your younger
sister. I think it's actually performing. Like, I love the nervousness, like the nervousness beforehand and the high after you get off. Like, once you get off that stage, like, even if you bomb, there's a high after bombing that's just like, holy shit, I guess I just did that. And it's my favorite thing in the world.
And do you like, so like with comedy, like it's such a unique experience I liken it to wrestling because like, unless you're like part of a tag team, it's just you and it's literally just you. So it's like, you have to succeed or fail. It's like, there's no one else covering your ass.
Yeah. You can't pull the chute and there's no parachute, you know, you got to stick the landing or just crumble when you fall.
So like, we're is it easier for us because we're white that we feel like we can't fail?
Well, I mean, it's definitely in our favor. I mean, I don't like to think that I got more of a chance than anybody else, but
I mean, I feel like you look at the amount of like men and white men that are in comedy, and it's like, man.
Yeah, it's an oversaturated market. That's
we need to take those numbers just down a little bit. Just to, like, we need to inflect some new life or something.
But I mean, everybody's yeah, I guess. It really is oversaturated.
I literally went to my friend Richard, who's like a training for be a wrestler, and he's black. And I'm like, hey Richard, do you have any friends of yours that would want to come and do comedy? Because, I mean, you're a funny dude. You're athletic. You gotta have some friends. Because goddamn, we need some new blood in the scene. We've been here for
years. That's just London, though, right? Like you go to Toronto, it's diverse, man.
Yeah.
But I mean, our little neck of the woods. I mean, this is also London, Ontario, right? Where this is racist as shit. we're in the deep south, apparently.
Oh my god, maybe that's why my wife doesn't want to leave the house very often.
I wouldn't either, man. I usually don't want to leave the house.
I don't know, man. I love leaving the house. I love getting outside. I love not being in my cave
in your corner of avalanche memorabilia.
I got some Bill stuff and wrestling and
all right. I had friends over last week for the Royal Rumble, and man, was that disappointing. The worst part was I read this synopsis online like during the day, and they were like, we're thinking that Brock Lesnar is going to lose the belt and then come back and win the men's rumble, and that Ronda Rousey's going to return as a surprise entry, and like everything came to fruition. I was like, man, I really wish I didn't watch that shit beforehand.
Did you read who was supposed to win the rumble?
No.
So it got changed the day of, but Matt Riddle was supposed to originally win the rumble.
Who's Matt Riddle?
RKO bro, man.
Oh my god, the guy that's been hanging out with Aunt Randy Orton.
So they was
we were Randy. Calling him George of the Jungle.
Yeah, they were gonna do Randy versus Riddle at Mania for the belt.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
we literally watched it because of Johnny Knoxville, and he was in and out in four seconds.
By the way, have you watched the new one yet? I think you said you were.
No, me and Phil are going on Monday at 5.
Shit, I'm working. Balls. It's you know, it's funny, like wrestling and I find there's a lot of similarities between professional wrestling and comedy in the sense that, like, you know, the top performers are the top performers, but also like the bottom performers, there's a lot of ego involved with like being a lower level performer.
almost more than not, right? Because everybody's vying for that spot, you know.
Well, I mean, so let me ask you, like, so how seriously are you taking this comedy journey? Like, are you wanting to go to Toronto? Are you wanting to go to Just for Laughs?
I'd love to go to Toronto. I'm not trying to think that I'm like the best of the best. I know I got waves and lengths to go, but I mean, like, it'd be nice. I just want to do something that makes me not bummed out, you know. Like, I tried working at a factory and I lasted like 4 days and I was like, I can't do this. It was like me and like 80 Filipinos, and I just towering over everyone, sorting through people's recycling. No thanks.
So like, you mentioned Filipinos. The only time that I have ever been a victim of racism was on a cruise ship with Filipinos.
Like, the Filipinos were racist to you?
Yeah.
What did they do? They were like, you don't know how to fish.
No, they wouldn't let me sing karaoke.
They wouldn't let you sing karaoke? What? Like, this guy's gonna fucking come up here and sing Journey.
No, it was like, it wasn't even Journey. I would be happy if they sang Journey. It was like I put my name in a list and my name got kept on bumped and
what
bumped.
What were you gonna sing?
Fucking Everlong by Foo Fighters or some shit like that. But these guys,
they were like, nah, we ain't listening to that white people shit.
Yeah, exactly. They were like,
what were they singing? They were singing like Michael Jackson and shit. No,
they were singing these fucking 7-minute, 8-minute love ballads I had never heard before in my
life. Yeah, like Asian love ballads.
Some legit old school, like Celine Dion type fucking love ballad shit, like Cher. It's going
fucking crazy. Oh man. What a bum. And it was on a cruise ship, you said?
Well, I worked on cruise ships for 8 years, so it happened more than once, man. It was
that's super gnarly. How is that, man? I can't believe that. My cousin, she's Australian on my dad's side. She worked on cruise ships forever.
Which one?
I don't know.
Okay. How is cruise ships? I mean, I've had a lot of my friends come on the podcast and like we've kind of shot the shit. I have a few friends that are still on cruise ships right now. Really? Oh my God. It's like a paid prison sentence. You go to work, you go to the cabin, you go to work. Like, there's no real socialization
is it,
like, out.
Because is it a raging party all the time though?
When I was there, yeah. It was, you get off work, you go to the bar, you sleep, you work up, you get up early, you work, you sleep, you drink. And it's like, man, there were some real, real, real late night bars scenes that happened on the ship. My goodness.
Were you just like so drunk the next day? Like, how do I even survive?
The one time
my friend and I
came back to the cabin like super wasted, and we made a video of how to sober up for the work the next morning.
Like chugging eggs and shit.
Well, no, because he was from South Africa, so we had these like South African pills that sobered you up real quick.
African pills? Oh man!
Well, no, sorry, he was from this kind of party. Sorry, he was from Namibia. My apologies. But like, he had these pills that were like from South Africa, Namibia, that area, and like they, I don't know what it was in, but like we were just like drinking like a liter and a half of water, drinking these pills. Like, this is how you stay sober. my girlfriend, my now wife, was there and she was on the bed just laughing at us because we were dumbest.
Is that where you met your wife?
Yeah.
All right.
Don't ask me how I make it work. I have no fucking clue.
Hey man, we're all just gunning for something.
But I do remember specifically that the one time we were doing like, so the privilege of that job is that like you get paid pretty good money. and you're not paying rent, you're not paying food services or anything. You're just, you're paying your bar bill, which, you know, the highest bar bill I ever had was like $700 at the end of the month. So like half my paycheck sort of thing. So at the end of the world. But all the drinks are discounted, right? So it's like $1.75 for a beer or $4.75 for a pack of cigarettes sort of thing.
That's pretty sick.
It's pretty dope. But I remember specifically we were doing a Scandinavian cruise and we were up at the toppest part of Norway, right? And at that point, and like, so we're sailing around the tip of Norway, and at that tip, the sun doesn't set at all. So it's all just sun. So we're at the top. So it's like, God, it's gotta be like 2 a.m. in the morning. We're all wasted. We're drinking, like, fuck it, why not? And then like the wind, the blinds are closed. And I'm like, and this is me fucking with people. I'm like, guys, look, the sun's still up. And I just fucking throw up the curtains. Everyone's like vampires and like, no, stop. But like, it was like, it was like, you saw it like kind of dip. And then, so you saw it kind of dip and then like, just bounce back up. It was so cool.
That's super cool.
And one of my goals with comedy is, you know, like you said, we're still young at it, but like, I want to get good enough to the point where like, I can like put in like a video reel and get a job as a comedian on a cruise ship, just for one cruise.
Yeah.
And then, and then wear my old uniform on stage.
That's amazing. I knew a guy that he was the host on cruise ships. Like he just hosted like the nights, like every night he was just your MC.
Cruise staff, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been amazing gig, but I mean, I just don't really fuck with the ocean.
Are you John Moxley? Jesus Christ.
It's scary, man.
Yeah. That's with... You're on a boat.
Yeah. What? Boats are scarier.
How many times has a cruise ship actually sunk? Tell me.
I don't know, but the Italian... has an Italian... captain left the cruise ship.
I was on ships when that actually happened. That was a big, the amount of new information we had to intake afterwards was super annoying.
Bummed out about that one.
It was, and the funniest thing about that is that, like, you know, they're telling us like, you know, only 16 people died or something, and you know,
died.
Yeah, man. There was two people in wheelchairs that were stuck in their cabin. They just drowned to death. Yeah, and lots of people died on that ship. Like, I want to say it was like 16, like 32. And, you know, but this is where it gets weird, right? Is we had all this special training afterwards because of that event. Because, you know, our industry.
It's like if your captain bails training.
Yeah. And they were like, you know, only so-and-so numbers died. And to us, that's a success. It's like, what the fuck? It should never happen to begin with.
they're like, we're batting 1 out of 3. So
it was,
I mean, if you're less than 10% in deaths, you're probably doing all right cruise ship wise.
So the problem with like cruise ships, is that like, and I think it's like it's also relatable to real life, is that like a lot of the people that are become part of your seniority, your management teams, they're not, you know, great. Like they get those positions because like they're tenured, right? They've been doing it the longest.
Yeah.
Just because you've been doing something like, for a long time doesn't mean you're good at it, you know?
Yeah. They just stuck around because most people don't want to stick around for their life on a cruise ship.
And that was one of the things that I had to like really like hammer down within myself, is that like, I can't do this forever.
Yeah. No, I was a chef for 12 years, and just this year I've refused to take any more cooking jobs because I'm completely over it. No need. I just became like such a grump, and I don't want to smell like deep fryers anymore.
Do you like, I mean, that's a kind of like, I worked in kitchens for a long time before I worked on cruise ships, so I that is a environment ripe for misconduct and jokes.
Oh man, that's probably one of the reasons why I'm a stand-up now. It's just like, I that's all we did, man. It was like you cook all day and you chirp each other. It was like the kitchen from Waiting. Like, you're just making fun of everybody all day long. I don't mean that's you get a good backbone standing in the kitchen all day.
No, for real though, right? I mean, like, is that something that, like, with the kids that you and Amber have, like, is if they're looking for the first job, you're like, go work in the kitchen. It'll give you some real character aspects, and also it'll be fun as hell.
Yeah, I think, like, everybody should at least, like, whether you do a hostess, an expo, a server, a dishwasher, everybody should have, like, 6 months to a year in the service industry and just be berated. Like, just have the worst management in the world and just, like, see. So then, like, now when you go to, like, a good job, you're like, man, I didn't know how good it could be. Like,
but what is a good job these days too? Like, I people would think that what I, like, you've mentioned on my photographs that you're like, you wish you had my job. Dude, bro, fucking stupid as shit.
Hey man, I love the job I have right now. Like, doing security, I caught two dudes in a bathroom stall last night, not doing drugs. And then I just, like, waited outside of the stall for them. And, like, they just leaned against the wall, and they came out, and I'm just like, boys, one at a time, please. And they were so embarrassed. I mean, a guy tried to fight me outside just because I was, like, just because he told me to get out of the way. I don't know. I love, like, I think I don't care what about, like, the money of it. I have a great time just being security at a bar where you don't have to do anything really. Like, I mean, for the odd time, like, there's, you got to drag somebody out, and it can be a shit job some nights, but
it's fun. What is your take on this mentality of, like, that money cures all? Because I've kind of gotten past the idea of, like, you know, money is always gonna be a pain in the ass, but I'm always gonna be able to make money.
I mean, it comes and it goes. That's, like,
yeah, but, like, I feel like so many people are focused on, like, money, bills, blah, blah. They forget, like, you know, at the end of the day, when you're on your deathbed, like, you're not gonna be like, oh, I wish I worked more. Like, you know, yeah, what I mean?
Oh man, like asking the doctor, like, you got $20, man.
Yeah. I feel
like I didn't pay for parking.
I feel so many people are, like, are so focused on, like, you know, that normalcy of what is not normalcy, but, like, was designated normal, as opposed to, you know, doing the weird shit. And that's part of the reason why I love doing comedy, because it's so weird. That's the only reason why I love doing wrestling. It's so weird. Yeah. It's just, there's something about doing the weird shit that people don't respect that just is the best.
Oh man, it's so much fun. You'd be amazed. Like, and once I started comedy, I'm sure you got it too. Like, the people that came out of the woodwork, like, not about, like, asking me for anything, but, like, just congratulating and, like, being stoked about it. Like, I talked to people I hadn't spoken to in, like, over 20 years.
Well, I mean, that means
you're always the class clown. It's good to see you. It's good to see you out there doing stuff.
Well, that's the difference between us. Is, like, you have good friends. I do not.
No, man, you haven't met my friends, bro.
My friends were like, why are you doing that? What is wrong with you? You should stop doing that.
I mean, like, there's friends that are like, that they're like, they didn't even take it for real at first. Like, they're friends are like, yeah, okay. And then they come out and they, like, afterwards they're like, man, I didn't know it was like that.
I wish I had, like, people that could come out and see me perform. Like, I'm trying to get a spot in May where a lot of my friends live. So I'm going to try and hopefully get
there. Where's this?
Like, Showtime Garden? Comedy Club.
Where is this?
St. Catharines.
Okay, St. Catharines.
Dude, try and I'll send you the guy's name. Try and get booked for a show in St. Catharines. They have a real good setup there. It's dope as shit. They have a legit comedy club.
Oh man, that's what we need in London. I mean, like, we got yucks, but
that's probably the best thing I hear all day.
That was me.
Oh man. So, like, I love it. It's so much fun. Like, so with the comedy now, and you're performing and you're writing and you're doing it, You also got the Forestry Scum going on. You are also doing acting as well. I mean, are you, does it behoove you to like just have you do so many different things? Does that keep you active, like in creativity?
I did a lot of nothing for a long time. And I've always wanted to do stuff. I've always just been a procrastinator and shit. So like this year, I was just making sure that I keep trying. I was acting in something the other day, and it was just like, it's just a fucking school project for a Fanshawe student, right? But I mean, it was fun. I got to play the role of Justin Timberlake in The Social Network for a scene, one single scene.
So how does that fucking work exactly?
I don't know, man. These kids were filming, like they had to do like a shot by shot remake of a scene, and they posted in London Film Community. They needed an actor, so I responded. I bet you nobody else responded. That's how I got it. I have no experience.
Is that the thing I sent you?
No, I didn't audition yesterday for that thing though.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, for Dr. Richard Moore. Fingers crossed I get it.
Okay, Doc.
He's kind of like a Michael Scott kind of character.
I want you to like dye your beard black, white, and with a cane, and you just say you're the doctor from Jurassic Park, and just do the role that way.
Oh, you did it, you crazy bastard! You did it.
No, you're. Yeah, I just with a limp, just like walking.
What was his name? It was Attenborough. It's not. He's not.
No, Attenborough is the guy that does the documentaries.
No, but that old dude's Attenborough as well.
Is he?
There's like Richard Attenborough and somebody else Attenborough. I think he was a director.
What?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
From Jurassic Park?
Yes. I believe it's Richard
Attenborough. David Attenborough is a documentary filmmaker.
That's David Attenborough is the Planet Earth guy, right?
Yeah.
Richard Attenborough is Jurassic Park.
Richard. Okay, yeah, Dick Attenborough. Cool.
Yeah.
You were right. I was wrong.
I know my movie trivia, man. Don't play games with me.
All right. Well, let's talk about some films. I know you and I are big. Like we both cried during Spider-Man: No Way From Home.
Give me 1 second. Let me plug in my laptop.
I mean, we both cried. It was fantastic. Yes. It was.
The most tragic movie I've ever seen.
Nah, you haven't seen some terribly, truly bad films.
I don't know, man.
I think your and I's definition of tragedy is different, because for me personally, Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, that is tragedy 101.
I don't know, man. Shia LaBeouf was pretty good.
You shut your whore mouth.
What about that scene with the lead-lined refrigerator?
Bro, my friend and I went and saw a movie, and we were high as fuck. And by the end of it, we were like, we need to be higher. It's so bad.
Yeah, I've never actually sat through that movie. I only get through, like, I don't even think I make it through Shia LaBeouf's motorcycle scene.
It's truly, like, what's the worst movie you've ever seen?
Fuck me.
Worst movie you've ever seen in a theater?
In a theater?
Yeah, because Netflix has lots of stuff.
I don't even... Oh, man. I think I sat through that Predator remake with Topher Grace.
You think that was the worst movie you've ever seen? It had some
in theaters. In theaters, I was a movie rental kid growing up. I didn't see a lot of movies in theaters.
Oh, God bless, like, Blockbuster.
Right, like, and Jumbo Video, man, Jumbo Video was my shit. And that, like, I was like twice a week at Blockbuster Video. And like every Friday for sure, my mom would take me there. She'd sit in the car and I could just walk the aisles for like 2 hours and like literally just like read the back of every single movie. I loved Blockbuster, man. But like, what's like my favorite movie is Dazed and Confused.
Okay, yeah.
What's your favorite movie? Like, what's the first one that pops?
Collateral.
All right.
Yeah. Wow. Collateral is my favorite. That performance by Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx, and the cinematography, the way it's shot in the...
Yeah, that was kind of a game changer for Jamie Foxx, right?
That movie was incredible. I still
it's a Spielberg, isn't it?
No, Michael Mann. It's the last good one he's done. Really. So, speaking of that, worst movies I've seen, right?
Yeah.
I saw a Nicolas Cage film called Bangkok Dangerous in theaters. That was truly terrible.
I remember seeing the cover for that.
It was truly terrible. I saw that in theaters.
As you paid for the ticket.
I saw that in a theater in Welland, Ontario.
Never mind, nobody was laughing at you. They're too busy smoking meth.
And then another one was I watched the Michael Mann film with Chris Hemsworth from a few years ago. And it was like, I love Michael Mann from Collateral and like Heat, but like the plot and like the pacing of this film was just, it was truly terrible. It's awful.
Yeah, I don't have patience. Like I watch the same shit over and over pretty much, unless it's like a new Marvel movie or if it's been talked about a lot. Like I watched Pig with Nicolas Cage. That was a star.
How was that? For this
year. It was wild, man. I loved it. Like actually incredible movie.
About the truffle pig, right?
Pig. It's like a kind of John Wick-y, but like much more beautifully done.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find this fucking stupid movie that I watched. Black Hat. Oh, terrible.
Oh, that was a pirate movie or like a...
It was a cyber com sort of thing where like he was a jailed cyber hacker and they needed to take him out, but he knew how to fight and stuff.
Yeah, I got no time for like your basic action. I don't watch action movies anymore.
I don't know, man. Like, there's some good shit out there. I mean, Raid Redemption.
It's just all the same in such CG now that...
Well, no, that's
Like, I'm obviously going to watch every single thing that Marvel puts out and cry and scream like a little schoolgirl.
Well, I mean, so, like, that's the thing, though, right? It's like, you got to find the stuff that isn't CGI. I mean, like, there's some great stuff out there that still uses, practical martial arts and practical effects.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you just got to find it.
Honestly, watching Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett right now, the amount of practical effects and just like dudes
and how
masks,
much better it makes the fucking experience.
And that's
right?
The thing is how much more real it feels is so much better. I mean, yeah. And like not to mention the amount of cameos that you get out of it all. It's just all fan service now.
The last movie
that's got me wrapped around their finger.
So the last movie that I watched just by myself, because like you know, it's. I don't know if you have this problem, but you're with your partner and you're trying to find something to watch and you're like, they don't want to watch it. It's like, well, fuck you. I'll watch myself that goddamn.
Yeah. And I'm like, I always just put on like Parks and Rec or The Office. Cause like, I just.
Never.
I can just watch it.
Never
I can watch it office. Over and over and over. And if I'm watching a movie, it's always going to be like a superhero movie.
Well, the last one I watched that was actually very good, and like I really enjoyed. Like, it was actually I really liked it was The Harder They Fall.
I don't know. I've heard of it.
So that has Idris Elba in it, Regina King.
Okay, yeah, the Western,
dude,
with all the black actors.
Yeah, it's dope as shit. It's awesome.
Yeah, it looked like a beauty, man.
You'd like it because it is like.
I heard the music's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's real good. I like that movie a lot.
Yeah. I loved we're gonna watch Nightmare Alley tomorrow night. Guillermo del Toro's new one.
Ooh, yeah, he's a guy that doesn't hit or he's a guy that hits almost every single time.
Yeah, almost every single time. Crimson Peak was a bit much for me, but...
My wife said the same. She just watched it because of Tom Hiddleston. She's a huge Hiddleston fan. Loves it.
Me too.
Yo, if you like something that has practical effects and like is fucking, if you like James Bond, like The Night Manager with Tom Hiddleston and Hugh Lowry.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. That was a great BBC series.
Yeah. Oh man, that was just a limited series, wasn't it?
Yeah. And so when you're saying like you don't watch action stuff that has CGI, it's like, dude, there's so much content out there. There's so much to watch.
That's the thing. We're being
you don't have to limit yourself. That's the thing. It's like so many people want to put themselves in these boxes. It's like
I watch a lot more now that I have this IPTV thing. It's like $15 a month and it's every channel in the world. And so like I just go to the movie channels and I watch, like it makes Amber mad because I get going and I'll watch like 5 movies almost at a time. Like I'll watch 4 minutes and then 4 minutes and just be scanning the channels back and forth, but watching the movies essentially, because I'm always ADHD and out.
are you saying with like, so like with the stuff I watch, I watch like wrestling, sports, and very rarely do I have time for like TV shows or movies, unfortunately. Like we just finished watching Dexter, the new one.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
I never got into Dexter, even the old one.
So I was very hesitant because I did watch the old one and it ended so poorly. This one redeemed itself quite a bit, which I'm very happy with.
The one thing I watch when I'm home every day is like at 6 o'clock, I watch the London news. I'm like an 80-year-old man. Like I watch the London news and then I watch Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. And I yell at the TV. Like imagine like an armchair expert with football yelling at the TV. That's me during Wheel of Fortune. I'm like, you idiot. I lose my mind.
I do the same thing, but I do with Family Feud. that's my
joke. Yeah. And then Jeopardy, the first round of Jeopardy is always pretty good. I get like a few of them, and then it's like silence for double Jeopardy. And then nobody gets anything in final.
So, I mean, all right, you never answered, like, what is the worst movie you saw in theaters?
I don't even know.
See, the thing is, like, if it's the worst, you don't remember it. Like, how do you not remember the pain? A pain that money...
For me, I always had a good time at a movie theater. I don't think...
High as fuck. Come on, man. You gotta watch a movie. No one has a bad time when they're high unless they're having a panic attack.
Yeah, then when I went and saw movies as a kid, it was like Power Rangers and Ace Ventura. So like obviously the best movies of all time.
With the purple dude with the chin.
Oh, Ivan Ooze, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dosia, and they got the Ninjetti powers. You
know, so like what did you think of that fan-made film about Power Rangers?
With James Vanderbeek?
Holy shit, right?
It was all right. It was all right. I mean, it was much better than what they gave us with Bryan Cranston as Zordon.
I liked that movie. I didn't think it was that bad.
It was okay, but I mean, the James Vanderbeek thing was much cooler.
Yeah, I wish they'd gotten a sequel for the Power Rangers one, because
so did I. Elizabeth Banks as Rita Repulsa. Ooh. Yeah. I know. Although they did my dude Goldar real bad in that.
Oh. Yeah,
Goldar was not what I expected him to be.
Just a giant nothing machine.
Yeah, Goldar has to have like essentially like Goldar looked like my dog in a gold suit as a kid. I just remember thinking it was my dog.
So like there was this whole like revolution happening with like TV and film where like all the stuff that we grew up with is now becoming more popularized and being remade.
What a time to be alive, eh?
What's a property that you would like to see get the live action treatments?
Spider-Man and his amazing friends, like Spider-Man and Iceman and Firestorm. That was okay, my shit.
So you can't do Spider-Man because it's already being done.
Well, I mean, I really liked Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Oh, bro, yes!
they hung out with like a mummy and a Frankenstein and a vampire that was Elvis somehow. That was my shit.
Like, my parents were always like, oh, you mean the Jay Leno clown with the chin?
Yeah, the Jay Leno clown. He was Jay Leno. Ah. Oh, man. He always had a musical number in like each episode. I still have a VHS of Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I want to come over and get high with you and watch it so badly.
Oh, man. They had one of the best theme songs. It's on, there's a streaming app called
Beetleborgs,
Big Bad Beetleborgs.
and that was Metallic afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, man. They, if there's a streaming app called Tubi, it's like T-U-B-I.
Yeah.
And it's all free, but they have some of the best 1990s, like our generation of television show content. They have Beast Wars, Transformers. They got Freaky Stories. They got Reboot.
All right, so Reboot's one that I would love to see come back.
I mean, they brought it back, but they did it real dirty.
No, we're not talking about that.
Yeah, that's not a thing. That real dirty. I was so excited, and I got like 2 minutes in, and I was like, nope. What the fuck is this?
No. No, it was like Animorphs Light. It was the worst.
Oh, Animorphs would be a good one to see come back.
Yeah. They actually still write the books. I saw one at a store.
What? They still write the books?
Yeah.
My God.
So for me personally, like, I want to see like a live, I feel like a live action Gundam Wing Zero would be dope as shit.
They could really do it well now.
Yeah. When that,
that's one that you like, it has to be CG, right? So like
well, I mean, like, yes and no, but like you watch Pacific Rim and you're like, okay, it can be done. You watch Godzilla, it can be done in the right sense. But it was never about the Gundam battles. It was always about the characters that are in the Gundam sort of thing. Like that endless waltz scene where like Zero's like pointing at the fucking things, that's dope as shit.
I mean, I love all that, like. I mean, Pacific Rim for me was the first one was okay. The second one was way, way past the mark of anything good.
And so like, speaking of like comedy and stuff, speaking of like, it's coming from like a real place, right? Like Pacific Rim 2 came from a place of just money, just money, just money. Like you need that, you know, you need that realism to like, actually be good and make money. You can do the same
thing. Well, like it's like those Michael Bay Transformers movies that they feel like they have like a like you it's listen. The same it's like three fucking people running and then they always have like a young comedian to like that's like the you know the comic relief and then they and have like
you one day.
Yeah, right? I mean, I'll take the job, man. Shit.
But like that first Transformers film was awesome as hell, and then
it's man, I love all the Transformers films. I don't know why. I find
and speaking of bad movies, my friend and I walked out of the one with Kelsey Grammer. Like, this is not worth it.
Oh man, you walked out on Frasier?
Yeah, no Frasier.
That one was dope. I didn't even know Kelsey Grammer was in it. And like my boy Frasier comes out. Oh, listen. I mean, I also didn't pay to go see it though. So
yeah, no. So like, listen, I paid to go see the movie, and like. Frasier is a goat, and but also you had Stanley Tucci just screaming.
I was going to say, wasn't Stanley it Tucci?
What are you doing, man? You're better than this.
Oh man, Stan Frasier and the Tucci. That's just incredible.
Can we get a buddy cop film with those two motherfuckers in it? Let's do that, shall we?
Come no, on. It's got to be like The Devil Wears Prada, but with Stanley Tucci and Kelsey Grammer.
Which
and like Tom Holland as the Anne Hathaway character. You know, like we'll remake they're remaking everything with women now. Why don't we make women movies with dudes?
Yo, when you next time you go for that shot for shot remake from Fanshawe, let's do like an all males version of like Ocean's 12 or 14, whatever it is. Oh, you mean like the original? Like, no, this would be different.
No. we're remaking Ocean's 8 with men. So Ocean's 11. No. you're not getting here. Didn't the director of that women's Ghostbuster movie get real upset that they weren't included in the Ghostbusters DVD box set. He's like, this is just straight disrespectful. It's like, I think what you did to the Ghostbusters franchise is disrespectful.
So, let's talk about that person. Like as a comedians and everything, I mean, like, you're seeing all these like properties get changed over from like, it's like they're getting changed and they're getting adapted to what's popular in this culture. But like, it's weird because like comedy is such a, like, you or I or any white comedian can't go back and remake an Eddie Murphy special, right? could you imagine?
Yeah. you can't remake specials. You can't, like, you can remake movies, kind of, but like,
yeah, but they never seem.
Who's gonna remake Beverly Hills Cop with a white dude?
No, Michael Pena is gonna be the new Beverly Hills Cop, man.
Is he really?
No, that would be a terrible idea.
No, you know what? I wouldn't.
Well, actually, no. Michael Pena could be actually very good. I was gonna say.
Yeah, he'd be great.
Yeah, he's taking down a Axel Foley or some shit like that.
Yeah,
let's do that instead of like doing Chips.
Oh fuck! Wasn't that, didn't Dax Shepard like produce that?
Yeah, he put all of his own money into doing that sort of ridiculous thing.
Hit and Run was good, wasn't that? Dax Shepard put all his money into that Hit and Run, and it was good. Like, he wrote that and I think directed it.
Thank God he's got all that Frozen money from his wife.
Yeah, right? he's just now like a stay-at-home dad. He just does podcasting and like lives off Disney money.
Yeah, fuck, dude.
Christian Bell just goes around and does actual work, actual acting.
Yeah.
Like, Dax Shepard just plays himself in every role.
That being said, one of my favorite comedies of all time is Without a Paddle.
It is a beautifully, and I'm pretty sure Canadian produced movie.
Yeah, and so like, it's weird how like, in Canada, like, there's some really good content that's made from Canadians for
Going the Distance. Remember that comedy movie?
Yeah, Mambo Italiano, I think, was a great one as well.
Yeah.
Schitt's Creek, obviously. Yeah, but like, I mean, it's weird how like, you know, so many things. Like, as a Canadian, like, no one really talks about Canadian content unless it's popularized. Like, no one's willing to give it a shot.
Unless it's Drake, yeah. I mean, like, we were the originators of, like, essentially the SNL shit. Like, SCTV, Second City was all, you know?
I'm so psyched for that fucking new kids on the Block coming back.
Oh, man, that's, like, those guys themselves. Think about how, I mean, those guys spread off throughout.
Look at the careers of each of those four men and look how much they've done. Like, it's astonishing.
It's insane. Dave Foley, man, he's just, and that new Amazon reality show with comedians looks amazing.
No, it's not. Trust me.
I'm down for it.
No. So they did that. They did that same concept on an Australian show with Rebel Wilson. And I got like 15 minutes into it. And it's like, it was terrible because Rebel Wilson
isn't funny.
What?
Rebel Wilson isn't funny.
No, but she was the host of the, so it was a bunch of Australian comedians. So it's a concept that's been done before.
Yeah.
And so
I knew it was a remake.
Yeah. And so like, I tried to get 50 minutes into it and it was like comedians are supposed to laugh. They're supposed to have a good time. When you take that element away from them, it's not great.
A bit of a battle.
Like the show should be like, how badly can you make someone laugh? And if they hit like a certain like level, voice level, then they get like eliminated. Decibel? Yeah, like if they hit a certain decibel of laughter, then they're kicked off. That's how it should be, because then they'd be entertaining.
Yeah, you have to laugh. Who can laugh the hardest?
Well, no, who can make someone else laugh the hardest? That should be the concept of the show, because then it's entertaining. Like, trying to keep people from not laughing, especially comedians. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? Are we trying to take joy away from our hearts? Oh, fucking ridiculous. Anyways, this has been an hour-long podcast of us just shooting the fucking shit.
I'm just shooting the shit. I loved it. This is exactly how podcasts should be.
fucking.
I think we talk about everything.
Well, all right, let's talk about Four Seas Gum before we leave. Some shameless promotion. What is Four Seas Gum? What is it? How did you get involved with it? That sort of thing.
This is me and my best friend, Phil. This is him on the shirt, taking a dump. It's our clothing company. We started it up. He used to own a clothing company with a friend of his called Broken to Black. And they put out this shirt that sold like just hundreds of fucking pieces of it. That was this design behind me. Those are the old London street preachers, those pieces of shit guys that used to harass women downtown. And so he just put Four Seas Gum around it. And one day we were just shooting the shit and I was like, why don't we just make Four Seas Gum the brand and then put that on every shirt that we make? And we just started going for it. So at the Four Seas Gum on Facebook and Instagram.
And do you guys have your own like little spot to make the shirts or are you outhousing those?
We're direct to garment right now. So like we have a site, it's linked in our profiles that you go to and you can just order whatever you want. We got tons of different stuff. Got like leggings, we got shoes now. They just have fart clouds on them.
Like with like a whiff.
No, it says poot in a green cloud.
And those are your flip-flops.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, they're actual high tops.
Okay.
Yeah, we got lots of stuff. I mean, I'm dry this February, so check out on my profile. I got dry February stuff and Oliver Twist on Thursday. I mean, I don't know when you're dropping this thing, but
probably in 2 weeks' time.
All right.
So not this week. I usually it'll be done. So like. You start your own show, right? Do you feel like that's like the way to like get the more, because like we both signed for Poachers, but there's no guarantee we get a spot. So like, and I do Fork River, that gives me my time to do my thing. Yeah. Did you create like 765 out of necessity just so you'd have a spot to kind of like
do 765 is already going on. There was a guy, Itai Cooperman was running it. And I guess he didn't, for the winter, he didn't want to keep coming down from Toronto each week. So he had offered it around and nobody was taking it. So I took it over. And then I was tired of trying to make sure I can fill up 2 hours of comedy every Tuesday.
Just turn it into an open mic. I think that's what we're going to do with the Fork River Nights, is just turn it into
but that's what I was trying to do, but nobody came, because I guess 765 is a... I'm not saying anything about 765.
No, but what do other people say about it?
I mean, you know what it is. It's a dive.
No, I've never been.
No?
No, I'm signed up for, I think I've got the 8th going on.
Nice. I mean, it's a fun spot. It's an East End bar, man.
What is with people? What is with fucking people not wanting to perform in front of like dangerous environments? I fucking love that.
It's not a dangerous environment.
No, but it was literally like, I'm not saying like it's dangerous, like you're getting stabbed or shot. But I mean, dangerous in terms of, like, it's a whole new atmosphere. Like, it's people that don't really want to see. Like, that's
I don't know. I'll go to any microphone and stand in front of it. I don't give a shit.
Dude, I was in Cornerbrook in Newfoundland once. I was doing some shoot there, and there was an open mic, and they were just muting music. And I just went up and did like 8 minutes of comedy for fucking whatever.
Yeah. Why not, right?
Why not?
I'll get in front of anybody. I'll do it in any country, any language.
I was vacationing in England. And I did a set in England.
How cool is that?
It was fun. It was awesome.
Did they understand it? Look at this guy.
They speak English there, man.
Well, I mean, like, did they get your comedy?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, there were things that were missed in translation. But, you know, that's to be expected. I mean, like, I think it's fascinating, like, that Thomas Girl is going to be doing a full, like, Spanish album.
Yeah, that's super cool. I mean, I watched Felipe Esparza's. He did like a half and half for Netflix, and I watched both halves. It's really hard to laugh when you're reading closed captions. I can tell you that much.
Well, the good thing is like I have my wife who speaks Spanish, so she can tell me if it's funny or
not. Oh yeah. Oh man. So that's why you get a Spanish.
And I got my Duolingo as well. I'm learning slowly but surely.
Are you?
Yeah.
I've been learning French on and off, but.
What can I say in Spanish? Yo come el hamburger? I eat a hamburger? No. Fuck, that's the fuck. Never mind. It's not going great. It's not going great. I'm going to stammer out. Brother, I'm looking forward to seeing you on Monday. Thanks for coming on. It was not a most professional one, but I loved it nonetheless.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Before we leave, where can people, like you mentioned 4C Scum, where can people find you on like Instagram, Twitter? I know that we have to do those things as you
Instagram
know,
is at Colin Winchester Comedy, and then Facebook is I don't tweet. Facebook is just Colin Winchester. So thanks so much for having me on, man. I had a blast.
Thank you, brother.
All right.
All right, I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation with Colin. Again, I had such a blast with that podcast because we were just kind of like, we were just shooting the shit. We were having a good time. We were just joking and laughing. And I hope you guys enjoyed that. I hope you guys go through the rest of your week enjoying life, not taking everything too seriously. And we'll see you guys down the line next week. Cheers.